Good morning, Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John this week. We start out the hour with some more bad news for congressional Democrats.
I love working for the people of Indiana. I love helping our citizens make the most of their lives. But I do not love Congress.
There's a statement that's calibrated to hit on the sentiments of the public. Not many people love the Congress these days. That was Indiana's Democratic Senator Evan Bayh saying he's done with the Senate and will not seek re-election in 2010. That unexpected announcement comes at a time when both Democratic and Republican incumbents prepare for a shakeup in the 2010 midterm elections. Many incumbents are finding themselves in tighter races than expected, especially on the Democratic side, probably because right now Americans are a lot like Evan Bayh, and they're not feeling much love at all for the United States Congress. Back with us is Adam Nagorny, chief political correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and also Lisa Mascaro, Washington correspondent for the Las Vegas Sun, who covers Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, who's in a tough race of his own back in Nevada, a Democrat fighting for his seat. Adam, back to you just to start. You have a piece in the Times this morning. You say that Bayh's announcement increases the chances of a Republican takeover of his seat and gets the Republicans closer to really knocking down that Democratic majority in the Senate. Why does Indiana carry so much weight as a bellwether here?
Well, two things. I wouldn't look at it so much as a bellwether, but it's a state where Democrats controlled by seat, and it's still a Republican-leaning state, notwithstanding the fact that President Obama won there last time. I remember that was the first time a Democratic president had won there since, I think, Johnson in 64, off the top of my head. So it's not an easy state for Democrats. You know, Evan Bayh is one person that Democrats thought could, you know, win that seat again. And as it was, Republicans were going to make an effort against him. I think he was going to win. So that's why it's bad news for Democrats. I still think that the Republicans have a long way to go to take control back of the Senate. I mean, the Democrats now have a 59-41 advantage there. And 9 seats are a lot of seats. Now, there are a lot of Democratic seats in play, including Harry Reid's, as you just said. But the Republicans also have to hold on to a bunch of seats as well, including, you know, where they could have problems, open seats, Kentucky, Missouri, Ohio, New Hampshire. So, I think clearly the Democrats are going to suffer some losses and probably significant ones. I'm not quite sure they're going to lose control. But
right. A lot of retirements on both sides.
Yes, sir.
You know, Bayh's reasons for leaving were different than somebody like Senator Chris Dodd, who's also decided not to run for re-election. Dodd basically said, I've seen my numbers. They are bad. I can't win. I'd rather leave than risk losing. Evan Bayh said nothing of the sort. He just said, I can't stand the atmosphere anymore. Do we take him at his word, or does Evan Bayh know something about his prospects that we don't, and he's putting sort of the best face on it here?
Yeah, this is a question that we were wrestling with yesterday as we were reporting and writing the story.
Right.
I think the bottom line is that we do take him at his word for two reasons. One is, you know, everything we've heard is that while he might have had a difficult race, he's going to win. I mean, he was in pretty good shape. He had a lot of money. He's popular there. He's won his last two Senate races.
His last name is Bayh.
That's no small thing. He's a member of a political dynasty there, which goes to the other thing. What makes this sort of announcement so remarkable and so, I think, credible, you know, I talked to him yesterday, and he's talking about when he used to go to the Senate with his father, Birch Bayh, like, you know, I think he was senator from, like, 69 to 83 or something like that, a long time ago, and how different he said it was then. He said senators were friends. You know, they socialized at night, and he said they really did, when push comes to shove, put aside politics, you know, when it came to dealing with a crisis. Now, there could be some kind of idealized memorization, the memory there, but I think it is really true, and he's a testimony to it, to how much things have changed for the worse there. And, you know, I think the takeaway of Dodd was very much Democrats are in trouble and Dodd is in trouble. I mean, that was very clear,
right. You
know, and he was very candid about it. I think the takeaway here is that something is really wrong here when a lot of a qualified person like Bayh, whatever you think of him politically, doesn't want to be in what you would think would be one of the most prestigious jobs in the world. Right?
And already the buzz around him, Adam Nagorny, is that he may be positioning for a presidential run. We'll have to see. Republicans licking their chops about their prospects in Indiana and also licking their chops in Nevada. Lisa Mascaro, you cover the majority leader, Harry Reid, who's in a tough race. Majority leaders don't usually lose their races at home, but it can happen. How is Harry Reid polling right now?
Hi, Todd. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure.
You know, Reid's polling in Nevada, the outside polling that we've seen shows him just really facing an uphill battle. He's, you know, down in the almost George W. Bush territory, you know, in the 30s. Reid's own internal polling, which his campaign has not released, shows him faring better The polling that's out there also shows Reid at this point, frankly, losing to the potential Republican matchups in the state. Again, Reid's own internal polling, says he's doing better than that. So Senator Reid faces a really uphill battle. Back home, it's an interesting situation. He's been in office. This will be his fifth term he's seeking as a senator, and often in a small state like this, where someone has achieved so much power and clout and is able to sort of do so much for his state, that engenders them to their folks back home. And in Nevada, you kind of have the opposite effect, where there's a little bit of what people call Reid fatigue, where they kind of want to know, what have you done for me lately? And, with the economy so bad in Nevada, with the foreclosure crisis and the lack of tourism really hurting the gaming industry, folks are really looking to Reid as what is your powerful position done for us?
So it's a skittish year for all incumbents. But I want to ask you about Reid's position in particular. With Congress being as unpopular as it is, I'm going to be charitable and say their approval rating is 16% at the top end.
Maybe
yeah. Celeste, you've been quoting numbers like 13,
yeah.
Abysmal. Somebody who's a majority leader is inextricably tied to that, right? He cannot separate himself from the poor approval ratings of the Congress.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you've seen Republicans early on go after Reid as the majority leader, from the time even when he was the minority leader before Democrats had control of Congress in 07. Republicans really sort of putting that target on his back, hoping to do to him what they did to Senator Tom Daschle in South Dakota back in 04, really tying him to that. And I think you really see it on health care, too, where, the big health care debate, that was Reid's bill. Reid eventually crafted that bill, merging those bills together. So he really has ownership of that. Some people think in an odd way that could help him in the end. But I think conventional wisdom says that, these things that people don't like coming from Washington, have Reid's name all over it.
And Harry Reid has turned the agenda now to jobs, 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 as he says it, not just a jobs bill, but a jobs agenda, trying to save the Democrats as well as himself. Lisa Mascaro, Washington correspondent for the Las Vegas Sun, and of course Adam Nagorny, chief political correspondent for the New York Times. Those are Democrats in the Senate and a skittish 2010 election. Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.